You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Chris Titley, and this is FinTech Fun, the podcast where I speak with Australian fintech founders and executive management and have some fun along the way, gaining insights about the person behind the brand. FinTech Fun is part of Day One, the network dedicated to founders, operators, and investors. This episode, I'm joined by Jordan Lawrence, co-founder of Vault. Jordan, thanks so much for taking your time and being part of this podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Excited to be here.
Now, for the listeners out there that may be familiar with the word Vault, it's certainly not the Vault Bank, which I have interviewed in the past. So coming to Australia, do you want to talk about the Vault story, Jordan, and its origins and how the business began?
Yeah, certainly. So Vault is basically real-time payments everywhere, is our saying. The goal is for Vault is to go around the world and connect the account-to-account payment methods in each country into a single point of integration. So merchants, PSPs, acquirers, integrators can just plug into Vault and have access to the world of account-to-account payments, which we're calling real-time. And obviously compared to cards, it is. So we started in Europe when the PSD2 regulation came around, which basically made open banking. So we have open banking in Europe, faster payments in the UK. That's where Vault started. So the challenge was at the beginning when open banking first came around was that, again, PSPs and merchants had to go kind of country by country, region by region, plugging in a third party provider to those APIs to the banks in order to get a decent coverage across Europe and the UK. So what we thought was, let's plug in all those third-party providers ourselves, right? So all people have to do is integrate into Vault and they have access to open banking across Europe and faster payments in the UK initially. When we started doing that, we realized there was kind of 70 countries around the world making their own version of real-time payments, account to account. So we thought, okay, this is a bigger issue. And so we started plugging in other countries as well. Our first foray outside of Europe was Brazil. So we have an office in Sao Paulo. We process Pix down there. Pix is the equivalent of your guys' kind of PayID, and then it's gone really, really well. So Brazil, the challenge was that your merchants would have to wait 30 days to get their money from the card schemes, which was very difficult if you're a kind of new player on the market, where, you know, with Pix, it's kind of T minus 2 seconds, right, because it's account to account. So it revolutionized everything, and 86% of all payments in Brazil now go through Pix. UPI in India is a similar success story, and obviously NPP products here in Australia with Pay2 and PayID, I think, are quite slow to adopt compared to those, as you know, everybody's quite interested in using their cards here, the whole tap and pay, all the rest of it. But I think adoption is coming fast, to be honest.
Jordan, I'm interested about the question from a social good point of view, and also from a business point of view, how important it is to be, you know, as you mentioned, from 30 days to 2 seconds, and you know, why some businesses potentially here in Australia haven't adopted it, because I would have thought that it would actually speed things up from a monetary point of view, which ultimately will continue to grow businesses per se.
Yeah, I mean, the adoption is slow, but as I say, it's coming. And I think in various verticals, it does make a big impact. The whole thing is going to be driven by merchants, right? Because it's account to account, it's an API call at the end of the day. So it's a much more cost-effective way to pay for something from a transaction fee perspective than a card, right? So the merchants are benefiting massively. It's a lot more transparent for the consumer. So yeah, as I say, I think it will grow, and it'll be merchant pushed, as they'll be saving so much money. It's just a behavioral situation, right? Here in Australia, people are getting cash back on their credit cards. People are getting points all over the place. And there's nothing really yet which ties in points with the payments. So there's an equivalent of the account to account to make it beneficial for the consumer as well. All that's coming. And I think the kind of new generation is really in favor of these account-to-account payments rather than cards anyway, because of the transparency. But certainly, as I say, I think the merchants will push it here. What becomes interesting also, I think, with Vault specifically, is that because we're plugged into all these countries, later on in the year, we're launching in the US, we're launching 6 more countries in Southeast Asia, 5 more in LATAM. So merchants in Australia, you know, who've got international ambitions can plug into us, use the MPP products, but also we can act as merchant of record in the other countries and actually process these account-to-account payments for them there as well, bringing effectively consumers to the merchants here, right?
Yeah, it certainly opens up, I would have thought, from businesses that operate in multi-jurisdictional areas, that the ease and simplicity of a product such as Vault will allow for a, sort of a greater market of businesses, I suppose, for using the product. And as you grow into different geographies, then that will open up another set of markets. Am I on the right assumptions there?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it's going to go. And I think people, when they get their head around the account-to-account payments in whichever country they are, and they see how easy it is to switch on new markets, that they'll definitely start expanding their horizons, even if it wasn't on the roadmap previously. I think what else is interesting as well is, you know, each of these, let's say, domestic payment methods has its own brand. So obviously you've got Pay2 and PayID here, Pix in Brazil, UPI in India, it goes on and on. What Vault does by being this kind of network of networks is effectively build a marketplace of domestic payment methods, right? So I'll give you an example of what I mean. Vault actually enables people in Brazil using their local Brazilian bank account and effectively a Pix payment to pay in Europe at the point of sale at the moment, right? Later on in the year, we'll launch a collaboration with Worldpay and UPI in India, which actually enables people from India using their local Indian bank account and UPI in the UK, which there are a lot of Indians in the UK, and they can actually then use UPI in the UK. And that's what we're going to do with NPP as well, right? So we'll be able to allow Australians around the world to actually use their local bank to pay locally in Europe or Brazil, wherever else we are, the US by then. And then it becomes an even more attractive play because you've internationalized the domestic payment rails.
No, for sure. The idea of sort of like the ability to pay in multi-currencies and not just multi-currencies, but certainly the ease and quick, the efficiency, I suppose, of getting paid, as I said before, is very important. What's some of the feedback that you've got from some of your customers thus far in regards to product? Have you built out the marketplace in a good user experience, or do people say, oh, actually, I'd rather, you know, be able to deal in this particular currency or this particular way? Can you change that, for instance?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Like, unfortunately, at the moment, it's so nascent, all of these products, right? So it's not perfect. It's definitely not as easy as tapping a card and walking out, or you know, or a familiar way to pay for something online, like a PayPal, kind of one click. So each country has its own nuances. But, you know, repeat customers at the checkout using Vault is around 36%. So that means 36% of people who use Vault once will use it again, which is, I think, a really good sign. Mm. So that will only get better and better. So yeah, feedback has been good so far. Merchants, of course, love it. The fee that flashed dramatically from their card schemes and what have you. So the feedback from the merchant, of course, has been amazing. And of course, operating cash flow is increased ginormously because the cash just enters your account immediately. So merchants love it. Consumers are a little over here in Australia are a little bit beholden to their own banking UX, which I think in some cases is a lot to be desired, to be honest. You know, but again, it will just get better and better. So Pay2, when you make a payment, first of all, you've got to sign a mandate. If you want to sign a kind of ongoing mandate where they can, rather than a one-off payment mandate, where they can the merchant can keep taking money out of your account, can be a bit of a clunky experience on some of the, let's say, bigger banks. But again, getting better and better. So I think from the merchant's side, they love it. From the consumer side, there's a way to go on the UX from the banking side of things.
And then if I repeat this interview, let's say in 12 months' time with you, wherever you may be in the world, what would you like to see or the progress of Vault? Or is there some sort of short-term aspiration within the group of what you want to achieve?
Yeah, so Vault raised another $60 million around 8 months ago to help us with our product and expansion, right? So that's why we're expanding into all these new countries. By then, we'll be in around 50 countries.
Wow.
You know, which is great. Keep in mind, we've got EMI licenses in Europe. We're applying for licenses elsewhere, which obviously enables us to start issuing bank accounts. So what I'd love to see in 12 months' time is in these 50 countries, the ability for Vault to be able to issue accounts locally to merchants and PSPs, collect the funds locally, and start remitting the money around the world as well, wherever the merchants want to pay out, wherever the merchants want to send money, which would be a traditional FX transaction, Vault being obviously the on-ramp effectively to that transaction. I think that will be a good achievement for the next 12 months.
Now, Jordan, let's talk a little bit about yourself and what you get up to in your spare time. You've been in Sydney now about, I caught up with you about 6 weeks ago. How long have you been in the country, and what do you do in your spare time? Do you enjoy? Have you enjoyed the Sydney and Australian lifestyle?
I'm sorry, spare time? Is that something?
Yeah. That's right, sorry. I'll rephrase that. In any moments that you may have to breathe outside of Vault.
Yeah, that has been a very intense few months. I got here January 15th, and I'm actually going back to Europe tomorrow, so April 5th, via Perth, actually. My brother lives on the West Coast. He's been here for about 15 years. So every time I come over here, I pop in and see him. But spare time, I love to surf, so I'm actually staying in Manly here. I've been here for the last few months. Every morning, I managed to get a surf in before work, which has been great. Your guys' lifestyle is fantastic, to be honest. So, super happy to manage to be here on the northern beaches, get a surf in. I think I try and spend as much time with the family as possible, which has been challenging.
I chatted to you, would have been about six weeks ago, you did sort of mention that you have hopped around a little bit in the world. Do you want to give the listeners a bit of a journey on your last few years and where you've lived?
Yeah, so when we started Vault about 5 years ago, I was living in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, where I had a previous company, which is called PCN. It's a fintech consulting business. I started that in 2008. There's a big staffing and recruitment arm of that, a kind of media business there. It's still going. Managed to exit that at the beginning of last year, but that was in Amsterdam. During the pandemic, moved down to Portugal. Never come back really from there. I was, given my job, I was also heading up the expansion into Brazil. So I was in Brazil for a while. As I say, we're headquartered in London. So I'm probably there a week a month. And then, moved over here in January. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster the last few years.
Two questions on the back of that. How's the surf here in Australia compared to the rest of the world?
I mean, you've got sharks here, which are quite prevalent compared to where I live in Portugal, where there's nothing. You can sort of just bask around and not worry about those kind of things.
True,
not that I've seen any here, but they're there, so it's a little bit different. But surf's amazing. I mean, you're in a pair of shorts, water's warm, the surf's great. I think one of the best testaments to that is, North Narrabeen. Kelly Slater himself had a house there for a while, right? So that says it all. No, it's great.
And the second question on the back of that, for someone that travels so much, what's some travel tips that that the amateur punter that doesn't travel very often would love to get from someone that does travel a lot?
Oh, that's a good question. I wouldn't consider myself an expert traveler. I still find myself in all sorts of troubles when going through the airports. But I guess a good tip, oddly, I still see people, even in our company, when they book flights, they don't select the seats. So they get to the airport and they kind of check in without checking in online. And then they get a seat issued to them. It's 32B and they're in the middle, crammed in for 4 hours, 5 hours. Never forget to book the seat.
Always book the seat. Great tip. And what about the jet lag? Are you cope okay?
You know what? It's something that's never really affected me that badly, jet lag. You kind of just pull through. I drink a lot of coffee. Maybe that's what happens. Melatonin is always good as well. Take a little melatonin halfway through the flight.
Yeah, and sleep when you can, and make sure you sort of line up with the time zone. Perhaps easier said than done. But Jordan, congratulations on what you've done with Vault so far, and to the geographic expansion that you've achieved, and also in the next 12 months, obviously a big 12 months ahead for the business. I hope you've had a great time in Australia. Obviously, great to catch up when you were here, but looking forward to catching up again in real life, wherever you may be, and all the best for Vault.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks. That's awesome. And thanks for the invite again. Do you want to tell me what's going on with the boats in the background? Maybe that's been asked a few times, but...
It's just I work out of an office there where the person enjoys some model boats. So there's about six or about half a dozen of them. And I'm not a boating person per se myself, but the office that I work out of, the person that runs the office is. So, some model boats to get the conversation started for people that actually do love the boats. So it's, the conversation doesn't go that far after they speak to me. But Jordan, thanks so much again. And really look forward to catching up.
Thanks, Chris.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded Podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.